Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If I were to ask you very simply, turn to the most beloved passage of Scripture, where would your mind take you? Well, no doubt Isaiah 41:10, right? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Or maybe 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, He cares for you. Maybe John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But tonight, I want us to go to the most arguably beloved passage of Scripture that's about 3,000 years old. Go with me to Psalm 23. How many times do we go to Psalm 23 when we are happy? How many times do we go there when we are sad for comfort? Now, I say about 3,000 years old. A conservative estimate, David was ruling about 1,000 B.C., and we know he wrote the Psalms in and around when he was ruling as king. So I feel safe to say if it was written 1,000 B.C. and it's 2023, that's about 3,000 years old. I want us in our time before us to look at some gifts from the shepherd, because this is the shepherd psalm. And so I want us to look at a handful of gifts, if you will, from the shepherd. Of course, David being the inspired writer, a passage of Scripture that we all are very familiar with. In verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There are two gifts from the shepherd in this one verse. And the first one is the gift of assurance. There is a gift of assurance. Notice, first off, there is a possession. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall not want is assurance. Do I have everything that this world has to offer? No. But if I truly make the Lord my shepherd, follow His guidance, I'm assured that I'm not going to be lacking anything. I'm not going to have a mansion on the hill. Really, I don't want to pay the taxes on a mansion on the hill. But I'm not going to have that. But I'm going to have everything I need be provided. That's assurance. And dear friends, those who are in the world, those who are contrary to God, they don't have that assurance. Oftentimes those in the world are the ones that are struggling the most to make ends meet, to try to figure out how the puzzle their life fits together, because they're missing God, and He's the true part that makes everything whole. So number one, there's assurance, but there's also peace. Since the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have to try to find someone to rule my life, because whether we know it or not, someone or something is going to rule our lives. Now a lot of times with people, it's self. Self rules their life. Many times it's a personal sin that they struggle with. Maybe they really have a hard time with gambling, and so the thought of gambling dictates what they do in their life. No, I have peace. What could be better than the Lord providing? So number one, there's assurance. Number two, there is peace. Keep going in verse two. How is that peace? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, although I'm not going to go out and frolic in a field of clover because I'm allergic to a lot of that stuff. It's very peaceful, very serene to go out and look at a fresh cut grass or to stand beside the waters as it is just still and calm and quiet and you can hear nature. You know, that's why I think I love morning so much, because the world's waking up. And if you get up early enough, you can see the world just come to life. What's more peaceful than that? Well, that is where my Savior is walking me, to those peaceful places. So I have assurance, I have peace. Look here in verse number 3. I have guidance. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I am guided by the shepherd. You know, you think about how shepherds, if you've ever tended to sheep or watched people tend to them, once you start working with sheep or really any cattle long enough, they know when you're coming. I grew up next door to my grandparents on their farm, and my grandfather drove a white Ford pickup truck. That was the work truck. And so anytime someone would come down the road in a white pickup truck, all the cows would just start following that truck because they thought they were going to get fed. See, they knew what he looked like when he'd get out of that gate. Oh, they'd just come running because he works with them. Well, dear friends, we are the sheep of His pasture. John 10, he calls himself the good shepherd. And so we know Him. We follow Him. And He offers us guidance. That's number 3. Number 4, look at verse number 4. We have security. He says, "Yea, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now you think about a shepherd, and since David wrote this, I don't know to what point in David's life he's referring to, but I am reminded of the time that he fought off a lion, and I'm reminded of the time that he fought off a bear. I've often wondered, did he use his shepherd's crook to help fight them off? He was keeping his sheep safe. Now, whether he's referring to that or not, he had a weapon in his hand. We know he also carried a slingshot. He was ready to offer security for those entrusted to him. You ever noticed a Christian who is battling difficulties in life, maybe even staring down death, and yet they can walk through it with a smile on their face? Why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How wonderful is it that he offers us security? And once again, dear friends, this is security that the world will not offer. Yes, you can buy a security system for your home, but that's not the kind that God offers. Look at verse number 5 for our fifth gift. He gives satisfaction. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That's satisfaction. He prepares what I need, and then he goes above and beyond. It's an overflowing, an abundance of blessings. We might sing this song tonight. I don't know. Count your many blessings. And I often think about that song. I don't know if I could count my blessings, honestly. I could start. But there's a whole lot of blessings in my life. I'm not going to lie. I take advantage of it. I don't even think about it. And I'm remiss about that. God has blessed us in so many ways. He offers us satisfaction and overflowing of abundance. But then notice from verse 6, there's two of them. First is fellowship. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Well, I'm following him. So since I'm following him, the blessings are following me. And since he is the shepherd, there's not just me. I'm not the only sheep he has. Biblically speaking, the average fold of sheep was about 100. So there would be 99, hence the story of the 100 sheep, one's lost, the 99. So that means that there are other faithful Christians that he's also their shepherd. There's just one shepherd. One flock, so I have fellowship with the brethren. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But look at number 7. A seventh gift from the Savior, or the shepherd, is rest. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Literally in Hebrews, to the length of days. To me, I find great satisfaction in knowing that the toils of this life are temporary. That I will not have to deal with them forever. Because there are some things in this life that just really irritate me to no end. And I won't get into those because we don't have the time. It's not as long as the list of blessings, but some days it feels like it. But knowing whatever difficulty, whatever frustration, annoyance I'm going through pales in comparison. I appreciate the reading from Romans 13. I think about Romans 8, about verse 18. For I reckon the present sufferings of this world are not to be compared to what's ahead. See, he offers us rest and fellowship, satisfaction, security, guidance, peace, and assurance. But these are only gifts that he offers to his sheep. Those are the sheep of his fold. So in order to get these blessings, then, we must be a child of God. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. If you're not a Christian, why not become one?
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dimon. Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ, and we would love for you to join us. Now, this is a monumentous program. It's program number 150. And if you want to study this again anytime online, you can do so at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there, you can find this one or any of the ones that preceded it or proceeded. This is Gift from the Shepherd. But I want us to just spend the rest of our time together simply reading the Word. And I'm going to be reading from the 4th chapter of Mark's Gospel account. This is a story that Matthew, Mark, and Luke record. It's the parable of the sower. I just want us to read it together, shall we? And Jesus began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was on the sea on the land, by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And then he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, received it immediately with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, and as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should become abroad. If any man have ears, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and to him that hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth of her fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded to all things to his disciples. That's Mark chapter 1, the first 34 verses. Friends, we have enjoyed our time together on Reading the Word. You can catch us anytime online, readingtheword.net. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Archie. In Mark 12:29, we see the words, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Think with me for a moment on the word Lord. It's defined as one having power or authority, the master, the owner, or an emperor or king. In other words, as Jesus is Lord, then we must respond to Him due to His authority. He owns His servants according to 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, and He is their king, 1 Timothy 6:15. A lot of folks will say, well, I believe in God and Jesus died for me. But is Jesus your Lord? We can believe all we want, but are we willing to obey Him? Maybe it's time to make Him Lord of our lives. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com, and thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior. Have a good day.